Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Now I will continue discussing about Varna Sankara and the situation in human civilization, which can at best be described as unfortunate. It might be very depressing to dwell on topics of the reality of the society all around us, and maybe the reality of the degraded consciousness even in our own minds. But it shouldn't be depressing. It should rather be, we can take it as a challenge, that Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world to reform the whole world, and he had great hope that it is possible to do so. So we should always remember that the spiritual energy is more powerful than the material energy. Material energy is very, very powerful, no doubt. It's very difficult to go beyond the material energy. But Krishna says those who take shelter in him, they can cross beyond this material energy. And especially in Kali Yoga, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kala Onasjeva Nasjeva Nasjeva Gatiranyatana. The only way in this horrible age of Kali is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, the chanting of the holy names, the chanting of the holy names. Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nam Hoite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nishta. Krishna has descended in this Kali Yoga as his name. And by this name, by the name of Krishna, the whole universe can be uplifted. Meanwhile, back at ground zero, we have a very unfortunate situation. We're talking about love of Krishna. It means a loving relationship with Krishna. But materially, even people increasingly seem to have no idea of what a responsible relationship is. And so it's unsurprising that we find women without husbands, without protectors, because it's promoted that, well, life is meant for enjoyment, not for responsibility. The purpose of human life, to know God, to understand God, to serve God, that is not promoted. Just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But the paradox is that the more we try to enjoy, the more we suffer. And the more we try to serve Krishna, the more we are actually happy. And even if we don't say Krishna, if we know God by another name, from some religious tradition that knows God by another name, if we dedicate ourselves to God, we become happy. But at the same time, we should know that dedication to God ultimately means, dedication to God. That means that we're not trying to indulge ourselves. So there's really no idea of this in the world today. And what's the greatest menace to human society today? Human society. Man is his own worst enemy, because we don't know who we are or what the purpose of life is. Now, we as followers of Srila Prabhupada, followers of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followers of Bhagavad Gita, we are dedicated to Krishna consciousness, which means purification of consciousness, becoming freed from all the lower qualities, which are summarized as kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, lust, anger, greed, kam, krodh, lobh, illusion, pride, and envy. But we're living in a society which really has no idea that, well, there is some vague idea that these things are not good. But what's happening is that on the one hand, they're promoting enjoy yourself, and they'll have movies with all kinds of sexual scenes and advertisements with half-naked women and all this kind of thing. On the other hand, when sexual crimes increase, then people express horror. So it's some kind of idea that you enjoy, but don't go to over there's some line, and the line keeps on getting pushed back, so that now it's considered acceptable to have sex, man to man, woman to woman, and so it's a very confused society. It's a ridiculously oversexed society, and we're living in that as devotees trying to become purified in our consciousness. But inevitably, unless we become very strong by practicing Krishna consciousness very strongly, then we're going to be influenced. We already have within our hearts the seeds of lusty desires. And then when we come in contact with materialistic sense enjoyers, it's very difficult for those desires to not become manifest. We see the classic example given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is Uddhava Jamil, who was leading a very pure life. He didn't have any idea, he didn't have any conscious idea of sinful life. But when he came in contact with that, the deeply rooted desires, karma ashayam, that's described in Bhagavatam as the desires for, it's actually karma ashayam, the desire for work in this material world, for material activities, that sprung up in his heart and overwhelmed him. That's just one example. So it may be very difficult, and even we see sometimes in our Krishna conscious movement that devotees who appear to be doing very well in Krishna consciousness, they may fall down from their position of Krishna consciousness due to indulging in lusty desires. Even though they know what is right and what is wrong, but it seems the power, anichanapi varshneva, varshneva, baladiva neojaya, the power of wrong desires almost forces them, janiya shunya, bishakhainu, willingly, knowingly, drinking the poison of materialistic enjoyment. Or it may be that someone doesn't fall down and they remain in Krishna consciousness, but there's some perception that they're enjoying that position with enjoying material comforts and enjoying the perks of office, and maybe not as Krishna conscious as they should be. So it's very difficult, either gross maya or subtle maya. It seems to be very difficult to go beyond that. So it's not just that we should point fingers at the big bad world out there, but really within our own society, the Krishna conscious movement, we really have to work at purification. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalaya indriyairapi yoginam karma korvanti sangam tyak vatma shuddhaye. The yogis, they act with the body, the mind, the words, the senses, everything. Everything they do simply for the sake of purification. So, as devotees, or we're trying to be devotees, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we're trying to spread the holy name, spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. At the same time, of course, we have to work on our own purification. Janma sharta kari karo para upakar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that we should make our own life successful. Having made our own life successful, purified, we should try to uplift others. Of course, we can't wait till we're fully purified, otherwise the whole world will completely go to hell. But the point is that we should work very stringently on our own purification. And also, apart from hearing and chanting, we have to live a life that is, live our life in such a way that is anukulyena sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Live a life in a way that is favorable for the cultivation of pure devotional service, and not engage in activities which are unfavorable. There's a whole science of Krishna consciousness. Just like in science, say, if we want to, we have, say, crude oil and we want to produce polymers, there's a whole science of how to get from the rough crude oil to producing polymers or nylons or plastics or whatever. There's a whole science how to do it. And if we follow the process, then we get the right thing. But if we don't, then we get something else. Of course, it's a science, but we're always relying on Krishna's mercy also. But then Krishna's mercy, he gives us in the form of giving us the process of purification. So the process of purification is principally Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting about Krishna. But again, Srila Prabhupada wanted to give us that way of life, the Varnashram Dharma, a way of life in which we can all live in a manner that we don't degrade. We can help each other to stay up and not go down. We're trying to go up, but we have the tendency to go down. And Varnashram Dharma is the system whereby we can live a life, a social system, which is conducive for practicing Krishna consciousness. And individually, even if we're not in that Varnashram system, individually we have a duty to lead our lives in a pure way also, which means no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. We can extend that to no indulgence in things which have no relationship to Krishna consciousness, which means whole broad spectrum of what we eat, what we see, what we allow ourselves to see, what entertainment we have, what kind of people we associate with. I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Canto 7, Chapter 11, texts 18 to 20 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes, formerly, the principle of dividing human society into four sections, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, was strictly followed. But because of gradual neglect of the Varnashram principles, Varna Sankara population developed, and the entire institution has now been lost. In this age of Kali, practically everyone is a Shudra, Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha, and finding anyone who is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya is very difficult. Although the Krishna consciousness movement is a movement of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, it is trying to re-establish the divine Varnashram institution, for without this division of society, there cannot be peace and prosperity anywhere. And again, every time I read from Srila Prabhupada, then it's just so much packed into what he says that you could write books and books, discuss for hours and hours what he's stating. Because of gradual neglect of the Varnashram principles, Varna Sankara population developed. So that means among ourselves also, unless we follow these principles of the Varnashram principles which regulate life, then we can expect that our children of devotees, unless they're brought up in a society where there is regulation for purification, then the powerful allurement of the sense gratification society will victimize them. And practically, we're seeing that. Srila Prabhupada writes, the Krishna conscious movement is a movement of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Is it? Are we producing Brahmanas and Vaishnavas? It's a very high ideal. And the Krishna conscious movement is trying to re-establish the divine Varnashram institution. Are we doing that as a society? Are we really doing that? We should be doing it. For without this division of society, there cannot be peace and prosperity anywhere. So the people who join our Krishna conscious movement, this is one of the things they should know, isn't it? They know that we're supposed to follow these principles, we're supposed to chant Hare Krishna, we're supposed to preach, we're supposed to just read Prabhupada's books. I hope they know that when they join this movement. Otherwise, it may be called ISKCON, but it may not be ISKCON. If they join and they don't know that we're supposed to live according to Srila Prabhupada's books and distribute his books, if there are some other books which are put in the center, then maybe it's not Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, it's something else. But one thing we should know, that we have a mission to establish Varnashram society. It's something that Srila Prabhupada repeats again and again and again. So we should also, as Srila Prabhupada repeated again and again, we should also repeat it again and again. That's what's called parampara. What we heard from Srila Prabhupada, we repeat. Then we become a bona fide guru. And not only do we repeat, but we try to establish that. So establishing Varnashram is a very big challenge. And the beginning, as Srila Prabhupada himself started that, the farm life with simple living and high thinking. And high thinking is there among devotees. Otherwise, what I'm talking about, there wouldn't be anyone to listen to. Now, I'm not saying I'm a great philosopher, high thinking, this, and that, but I and anyone else who is blessed and inspired by Srila Prabhupada, we talk about things like this. We talk about topics of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and how human life is meant for God realization. These are high topics. We say high thinking, of course, the ultimate is Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam, worshipping Krishna who has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna with the feelings and bodily luster of Radha. This is very high. But then talking that we're not the body, we're eternal, spirit soul, that's also very high. It was high for Arjuna. Arjuna taking the role of a bewildered materialist. And it's certainly higher than anything that's discussed in the schools and colleges and universities, Yale, Harvard, Oxford, all these things. People don't know these things. Lokasya janato vidvans chakra sattvata sanghitam. People don't know these things. And therefore, Vyasadeva, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're not unfamiliar. By Krishna's mercy, which we've received through His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, we are familiar with high topics, but the simple living That doesn't come so naturally. We're living in a very complex society in which people can't imagine living without all kinds of gadgets and which are meant to increase their comfort and all kinds of mod cons. They used to call that mod cons, modern conveniences. But on the other hand, unless some of our devotees or many of our devotees don't cut out of this sense gratification society, then we'll just remain entangled in the Varnasankara society. We ourselves, if we're strong in Krishna consciousness, we may rise above that, but it's going to be more difficult for our children. And it's more difficult for us also. This whole discussion began discussing people who join this Krishna conscious movement, but practically, in many ways, even though they're chanting Hare Krishna in their day-to-day life, they're hardly even humans. The fight at home and the children come out like some kind of wild beasts here in this country area we're living in. I was resting outside and got a warning, don't rest outside at night. There's a cheetah or some kind of leopard wandering around here. So it could be dangerous. But it's dangerous in the city also. People wouldn't sleep outside in the city. It's dangerous. They'll lock themselves in their house. Even in the house, it's not safe. Someone can come inside and kill you in your own house. So we have a duty to show a better kind of civilization. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for our children to come up in Krishna consciousness, especially if we raise them with the idea, with compromised ideas that, oh yes, it's very good to live in modern life and get a good job, get a good career, and chant Hare Krishna. It's the two things are working against each other. The idea of having a good job in the sense gratification society and being a pure devotee, they work against each other. It's not that you can't be within this society and not be Krishna conscious. It's possible. Padma Patrami Vambhasa. One can be like the lotus leaf growing in the water but above the water. But basically, the materialistic society is aimed at sense gratification, and Krishna consciousness means to rise above all these things. So it's difficult to run on two tracks at the same time. Yes, I'll be successful materially, and at the same time be Krishna conscious. So, what shall we say? We're all unfortunate. We're all fallen here in this material world. I've spoken about how in India the situation is better, but practically anyone in the material world is fallen. Patitang, mang, vishame, bhavam, buddhau. We're all fallen in the ocean of sense gratification. And although we may say that overall for spiritual life the situation in India is better than outside India, but the situation in India is worse than it was previously. It's getting worse day by day. And anyway, it's the material world. So it's all relative when we say India's better. Everyone's fallen, but Dino Hino Jato Chelo Hari Name Udharilo. The fallen can be uplifted by the holy names of Krishna. The great example is Jagai, Madhai, and so many others. Srila Prabhupada, he uplifted the hippies. It was unthinkable that people who had deliberately chosen a life, a dissolute kind of life, could become uplifted. The hippies mostly came from respectable backgrounds. Respectable means they came from middle class, upper middle class families, but they chose to live like beggars on the street and to have illicit sex and drugs and all these kind of things. So it was unthinkable that such people could become actually saintly people. Srila Prabhupada's teaching no illicit sex and no intoxication to the hippies. It didn't seem like it was going to be a very popular movement. The no gambling, that wasn't a problem for the hippies because they weren't gambling. Of course, they were gambling their whole lives away. and no meat, fish, or eggs. Well, many hippies were vegetarians or inclined to that, but the no illicit sex and the no intoxication, that was practically going against the whole ethos of hippie life. But Srila Prabhupada gave them a higher taste. And still, all over the world, people are taking to Krishna consciousness from most fallen backgrounds. So we may wonder, well, what does it matter, all this varnashram? We can preach and uplift people. That's true, but the point is not just to uplift people, but to keep them up. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, we find, with increasing insistence, he stressed on varnashram, that we have to establish this. Our ISKCON society has to do this. In the early days of ISKCON, he didn't talk much about this, but more and more he did. Especially when he saw even people he had awarded the order of sannyas, and they fell down. Grihasthas, brahmanas, Grihastas, Srila Prabhupada saw his own disciples. They didn't remain steady in family life. They'd leave their wives, or the wife would go with someone else. Prabhupada would give Brahman initiation, and the people would not live up to that. So Srila Prabhupada, he more and more saw, and he more and more spoke about this and insisted on this, that we have to establish varnashram, seeing that and not everyone can come to the status of a brahmana. So let them chant Hare Krishna in another status of life. Let us organize society in this way. It doesn't mean that because someone's fallen, they can't get the mercy. In fact, that's the whole point of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar, his descending in this world. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. Krishna has descended as Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically for the purpose of uplifting the fallen. But at the same time, we want to create, we don't want people to be fallen. It's not that, well, let's encourage everyone to be fallen, then we'll lift them up. It's not so easy. Even living a pious life in Varnashram, it's also fallen because it's within this material world. But when people are living a pious life, in Krishna-centered life in Varnashram, they're already well on the way, on the path back to Godhead. Whereas people who are living animalistic lives, that's the whole problem that we started discussing, yeah, that people are living animalistic lives, they come to Krishna consciousness, but they don't get the spiritual power to overcome their animalistic tendencies. We have to create a situation in which they will have a much better chance to overcome the lower tendencies. Because anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, we will hope that they have some sincerity to do so. If they don't do so, we can blame them. Well, they didn't follow. But at the same time, it's our duty as a society to create a situation that will help people to follow. Because it is difficult to come from a very low consciousness to a high consciousness. In one sense, it's easy if we grab the lotus feet of Krishna, but at the same time, those bad tendencies are pulling us back. And Maya goes into overdrive when anyone tries to come out of her clutches. She has the general avaranatmika vritti, just covering everyone with her illusory sense of belonging to this material world. But if anyone tries to come out of that, then prakshenatmika vritti, the throwing back tendency. You want to get out, then and Maya comes with more force to push us back. So, I'm coming to the same point again and again and again. As a society, it's our duty to establish this. We have to make a start somewhere. The real way to get out of Maya is to practice Krishna consciousness with full strength, but at the same tivra bhakti. That term is there, that intense devotional service. But at the same time, we need help. We need to help each other by all coming together. Individually, we can examine our situation. We don't have to be in the situation that we are because we're raised in a situation in which our hearts are full of lust and lower tendencies. We can overcome that. If we understand, I am not this body, I am not this mind also. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So we can make a conscious decision. We don't have to be what society has made of us, because we are, by nature, eternal servants of Krishna. That is our constitutional position. And if we're very strong, we can hold on to that. We don't have to be what society has molded us, what others expect us to be, what others think we should be. We can very strongly hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna. We may be raised as a Christian or a Muslim or an atheist or a Hindu, but we don't have to be any of these things. We can always remember that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. But although someone may be individually strong, most of us are not. Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge. In Kali Yuga, we get strength from coming together. In the Satya Yuga, people would alone or in small numbers go to the forest and perform meditation. But in Kali Yuga, we all need to help each other. And Srila Prabhupada often gave the example that if we have one twig, we can very easily break it. But if many twigs are bundled tightly together, then you can't break it. So in the same way, we get strength by coming together. It's supposed to be a Hare Krishna movement. If we all move together, we all get caught in the flow. And Srila Prabhupada, he really made this movement a movement. He really made it intense that we all have to be part of it, and we all have to engage in the preaching and the sankirtan. And he really pushed the devotees. He didn't like to see an easygoing life. He wanted to see devotees busy in Krishna's service so they could get absorbed in service to Krishna and not be victimized. We need good examples. Again, Srila Prabhupada wanted to make a society of brahmanas who can set a good example for others, and others can be inspired by that. Of course, we have the brahmana caste in India, and we can see how that can degrade. But that doesn't mean that because brahmanas can degrade, then there's no point in trying to make brahmanas. We should look up to the ideal and try for that. If we don't try to make the ideal, then we're going to sink down to the lowest level. So It's true that a brahmana can become a demon, but then a demon can become a brahmana and more. Can become a brahmana and a Vaishnava. It is a fact that many of our devotees are struggling with their... Apparently we're all struggling. We're in the material ocean. It's a great struggle. So we have to be, on the one hand, tolerant of failures. On the other hand, we have to keep standards up. It's almost like the two things are working against each other. We have to be tolerant of devotees who are not keeping up to the highest standard. We want to keep encouraging them to come up. At the same time, we have to make it clear that this is the proper standard. Encourage everyone, but at the same time, we can't say that, well, it's all right to engage in illicit sex and have intoxication, and it's all okay. We can say that, well, if someone's struggling with those anarthas, unwanted tendencies, then we'll still encourage them to chant Hare Krishna, but we can't say that that's the proper standard. You really have to try to come up to a high standard of being seriously committed to pure devotional service. And when we say pure devotional service, we may think a very, very high level, and gopis with Krishna. Yeah, that's ultimately where our sampradaya is headed, to the mystical wonderland, the love land of Vrindavan. That's true, but at the same time, we have to be realistic about our position here in this world, and we can follow Srila Prabhupada's raga, or attachment, for preaching Krishna consciousness. This can be our raga anuga bhakti, that by taking up this Krishna consciousness and being very much attached to helping to spread the Krishna conscious movement, then by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we can be raised gradually to the highest position. So on one hand, we have an eye on the highest level. At the same time, you have to realize that the whole world around us is very low, and we ourselves are liable to be victimized by those very low tendencies unless we're very careful. So, as Srila Prabhupada often said, and Shastra states, and we can see ourselves from the Krishna conscious perspective, the culture overall is much better in India. It's much more fostering for Krishna consciousness. And for Indians to take to Krishna consciousness, it's in many ways much easier for them than for others. They don't have a big cultural gap to cross. Still, in most parts of India, if we go in the streets or in the villages chanting Hare Krishna, many people will appreciate that. But then again, not everywhere, not in... there may be Muslim villages and Christian villages. They don't like that very much. So India is changing. But on the other hand, there may be a tendency also to think, well, yeah, we already know. We already know about this. That was very prominent when I was first attempting to serve Srila Prabhupada here in India in the mid-1970s. That people would say, yeah, we're Hindus, we know all these things. Yeah. We already know about these things. Or people think that they're complacent. I go to the Sai Baba temple once a month or so. That's enough for me. They're complacent in the wrong thing. A lot of misconceptions, impersonalism. So material attachment, it's not that being Indian is just almost being a Paramahamsa. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example that if you want to teach how to play the piano to someone who already has some idea, charge them double. So someone who has no idea. Because someone who has little idea, he thinks, oh yeah, now I know. And then it's more difficult to teach them because they already learned not in the proper way. That's why learning mridanga, how to play mridanga, if one's to learn it properly, the teacher won't, the guru is the word used, they, or any instrument, whatever it may be, sitar or whatever, they won't let you go very quickly. You have to do the basic beats perfectly. It may take days on end to get it just right before you go to lesson two. Step by step. But if you already think I already advanced to a higher level, when actually you didn't get it right, then it becomes more difficult to teach. So it's something like that. So India is better, the culture is here. For Westerners, it may be very difficult to adopt this culture. Indians also nowadays, they're so westernized in so many ways. But really, ultimately, it's not a matter of Indian or non-Indian. Everyone has to take to Krishna consciousness. I've been saying in general, the worst manifestations of degraded society we see outside of India, but outside of India there's a lot of propaganda how India is so bad culturally. If there's a rape in India, it gets propagated all over the world, although there are so many going on all over the place outside India also. But anyway, it is there in Shastra, and practically we see that India is better. But on the other hand, everyone can be and should be Krishna conscious. So once Srila Prabhupada was asked something about India, and Prabhupada said, make India everywhere. Make this, in other words, make this culture everywhere. And again, we may say, well, for our Gurukul children in the West, it didn't work out. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep on trying. Most of the children who were in Gurukul when Srila Prabhupada was here, they are now, in many ways in their day-to-day life, just like Western materialists. Most of them didn't take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. They identify in many ways more with the culture of the demons than with that of Krishna. And for India today at the present time, I was just hearing about some devotee, very serious, dedicated devotee in Delhi, who's from a very good background, Brahmana from Prayagraj. But his children are completely materialistic. I don't think they meet. They probably don't. I don't know about alcohol. But they're very, very interested in having careers and making money and becoming famous and all these things. And these things are going on in India also. We can't expect that even people who come from good families here in India, we can't expect that they can encourage their children to do well in school and have a good career and all these things and expect them to maintain also their high religious culture. At least we can say it's a great risk that they will lose that. I'm not saying there's no problems in India, there isn't rape. Even in Mayapur, there are problems of the women there being molested by not sure exactly who, the local people, or, and then some of the children, they're having problems with drugs and all kinds of things. So it's hard to keep Kali Yuga out, that's a fact. But we really, really have to make the effort. That is our duty as followers of Srila Prabhupada. And we shouldn't think that it's impossible. If Srila Prabhupada, like all his god brothers, had thought that it was impossible to preach Krishna consciousness in the West, we wouldn't even have any idea of this wonderful life of Krishna consciousness, this wonderful opportunity to chant the holy names and go back to Godhead. So we should have the faith that although it seems to be a great challenge, we really, really have to create communities and societies in which we can show the highest ideal. And we can't expect that it'll all be perfect and there will be so many problems, no doubt, but it really it's our duty to try to establish that. Just one more topic. I started this series of talks. This is the third on this topic of what's going on. Our devotees, we find so many, their household life is a mess, and how do we spiritualize the lives of people who come from a not very spiritual background? So that was one letter which this series of talks, which is now coming to an end, is it's addressing that. Around the same time, I got another letter from a lady from Indian background who was not born in India. How she's having and living outside India with her Indian husband. So they're both Indians by extract, you could say, by bodily feature and culture, Hindu culture. But she was complaining that her husband was brought up in such a way that his parents indulged him, and then he thinks that I, as the wife, should just pander to his every whim. He's not very concerned with me as a person. And I myself come from a background, she wrote to me, I was abused by my father as a child, and I grew up with a very strong sense of independence and looking after myself. So it's very difficult for me to submit to him, and he thinks I should just submit to him. Ah! You can almost hear her screaming in the letter. What do we do? Such are situations in the modern world. Well, what to do? You're married. Somehow you have to adjust and go on and take advice of Shastra, how to do so. The husband is a very difficult case. It is enjoined that the wife should try to adjust herself to him, as is, not should try to, but actually should do. And the example is there of Sukanya, who adjusted herself to the very irritable Chavan Muni. That example is given there in the Bhagavatam, 8th canto, I believe it is. Life is short. We don't have time to... There's actually a song like that, isn't there? That's from the 1960s, I think. One of the Beatles songs. Life is short, we don't have time to quarrel. It's a good message, but we should add to that that life is short, we shouldn't quarrel, but we have to be Krishna conscious. Let's concentrate on the real goal of life. One term that Srila Prabhupada often used in relation to married life is that you can be married and peacefulness in family life. Peacefulness in the sense that now you're married, okay, you're married, finished. No longer looking, well, maybe I could get this boy or that boy, or the husband is no longer thinking, well, maybe I could marry this girl. All right, okay, you're married, finished. So that's it. That's it for life. In this life, you have this partner ordained by Krishna, and you go on like that. In this short flash of human life. So that's a kind of peacefulness. You can get that peace with that. Okay, I'm in this situation. I have to go through so many years like this. And we should encourage, we're talking about Varnashram Dharmasha, we should encourage also. Varnashram means also there's Varnaprastha life. So if you don't like your husband or your wife, you can look forward to pretty soon. You can be Vanaprastha. And then you can go to holy places, or maybe he will go to holy places, or engage in full-time service in a temple. And there's the Vanaprastha, if the husband and wife are getting on together well, then they can together serve Krishna in ISKCON temple and visit holy places. And if they don't get on so well together, then the husband can go out of home and the wife can stay within the home or serve in a temple or whatever. In other words, it's a time when one's 50 years old, the children are grown up, it's a time for readjustment, reconsideration. But there are so many considerations. It's a huge topic, this family life topic. Another consideration is that even if the husband and wife don't like each other, then by committing that we're together in dharma, then they can come to live with each other and respect each other. And you never know, they might even like each other because, or love each other, because intrinsically, as spiritual living beings, we are meant to love everyone, every living being. So charity begins at home. That love can be in the home. But otherwise, if everyone's living for sense gratification, then the home just becomes a microcosm of the big bad world outside, in which everyone's in competition with each other, no one likes each other, and the home life becomes hellish. So you can think that, well, anyway, we have to live together all these years, so why don't we just adjust our consciousness and our way of behaving so that we can live peacefully. Anyway, whatever you do, even if you throw the whole kitchen at each other every day, don't stop chanting Hare Krishna. That's the lowest level, but better to stop fighting and go on chanting Hare Krishna. No easy answers. The easy answer is become a pure devotee of Krishna. Or, as Srila Prabhupada said, to facilitate that, let us make these simple living, high thinking communities and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukharo na vayam vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilukthama nathama nirvishama dante nithaya churnakam padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushata metada hambravimi. Hey sadhava sakala meva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu ragam ancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyavacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah.
Hare Krishna. As often happens, shortly after giving this lecture, or a series of lectures, I came across, in the great ocean of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, I came across a quote from Srila Prabhupada which is absolutely germane to the subject, and I wish I had come across it before giving this lecture. Of course, I've been through it before, but it's like that with Srila Prabhupada's works. There's so much that you can't remember everything. So this quote is just exactly germane to the topic that I spoke on. It's from a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave on the Srimad Bhagavatam in Los Angeles on September the 15th, 1972. Unfortunately, the audio recording is lost, as happened with quite a few of the transcripts which are in the Veda base. They were transcribed and then later the audio recording was lost. So I'll read this little quote that Srila Prabhupada said. I'll read it myself, which is just to the point of devotees taking to Krishna consciousness and then not sticking to it or acting like animals or worse. So Srila Prabhupada said, God wants you to come back home and live peacefully. If you do not do that, then you will have to undergo the severe punishments of transmigrating from one body to another. And there are 8,400,000 bodies in which you will have to suffer. And you can see that they are suffering, so don't misuse this human form of life. Don't give way to the sense gratification. Have a little tapasya, not severe tapasya like Naranarayana. They went to the Himalayas and underwent severe, very severe, just like Dhruva Maharaj. In this age it is not possible, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given you a concession. You take these 16 words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant these 16 rounds. If you can increase, all right, or these 16 rounds. And observe these four principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication. Is it very difficult? But we are not even prepared to undergo such a little tapasya, penance. What is that difficulty? We don't eat meat and instead we get nice other food. So what is the difficulty? If we don't become hogs and enjoy senses like hogs without discrimination of mother, sister and daughter, if we become attached to one wife and enjoy life, what is the difficulty? No, although I have got my wife, I am implicated with others' wives. I've got a husband, I'm implicated with others' husbands. No tapasya. They are not prepared for any kind of tapasya. They want cats and dogs life. Therefore, their next life is waiting, cats and dogs. So this is the position. Naranarayana, they underwent severe penances, just like Dhruva Maharaj. But in this age, it is not possible. But at least observe these short penances, little penances, and chant Hare Krishna and make your life successful. What is the difficulty? But we are not still prepared, and still we do not take it very seriously, because our past life is so sinful that even coming to Krishna consciousness, we are being disturbed. Our sinful activities are so strong that even coming to the point of Krishna consciousness, we are falling down, again falling down. So be careful, be cautious, and execute your duty as Krishna conscious people. You will be happy. So that point, our past life is so sinful that even coming to Krishna consciousness, we are being disturbed. So that fits very much with the topic that I spoke on in these three talks. Hare Krishna.